on your Sunday as you travel to whatever direction you might be going. I tell you what, it has been an incredible week this past week with just the beautiful sunshine, and we had some amazing rain on a Friday morning. And up in my area in New Sharon, we had 2 3/4 inches of rain in a short amount of time. And again, they're saying that possibly rain even today on Sunday. But what an incredible time it is. We're thankful for that as the blessings of everything that is going on in the midst of Iowa. We also, too, maybe today you're traveling. Maybe you're on your way to the state fair this morning and you're on your way traveling and you've turned it on to KBOE 104.9 FM and to listen to Vital Ministries. And we're glad to be with you on your travel time today. I was up to the fair on the opening day. My wife and I always go up on Thursday, and it is an exciting time. It's Iowa at its best, all the different foods and seeing the butter cow, and also too the young woman who plays for Iowa, the basketball gal, and just, you know, made out of butter, and it just was a great time, and we just so enjoy the fair. And if you haven't been up there to take time, man, what a great family event that it is. So if you're traveling today, just be safe. Some of you are on your way to church this morning. I want to thank you for listening to us. And some of them will say, Mike, I even stay in my vehicle until it's finished. I just want to thank you for being with us this morning. Those of you who are at home, this is your worship time. This is the time that you get filled. And I just pray today as we have our teaching that it does exactly that. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells and speaks to your heart today. Also, too, before we get started this morning, just want to remind you, we send out devotional 6 days a week. You can go to Vital Ministries and check out both Vital Life and Vital Men. You can have those devotionals sent to you by email. That's just a great nugget throughout your day, sent directly to you at any given time. Would love for you to join up. You can sign up on our vitalministries.org webpage. Check that out. Also, too, Vital Men will be starting the week of September after the September 10th. We'll be starting up. We're going to be studying the book of Matthew, the tax collector. And I'm just excited about that new teaching series as we get going on that. That's going to be a really, really good teaching series as we just do all those things that are going on. So you don't want to miss out that in for the men, you can go to our vitalministries.org webpage. Check out, we got 4 different locations that we're in. We're in Knoxville, Ottumwa, New Sharon, and also in Oskaloosa. So if you want to get plugged in one of those areas, that you certainly can. Also, too, I just want to bring to your attention, there is without a doubt an urgency that I want to bring to your attention today. You know, Vital Ministries is, and you probably think, my goodness, here we go, wanting money. And it always seems like ministries are wanting, and it takes money to survive. But we here, I've been on the radio for a lot of years. And folks, we really need help. We need help in order to keep the ministry going and stay on the air. Nothing comes for free. A lot of times people will think, well, you know, that money comes somebody else, but we're in a position right now, folks, that if we don't get help in a matter of time, that we'll have to cut some things. And we don't want to cut this ministry on the radio. We think it's vibrant. We think it's something that people really, really take heart at. So if you would at all consider doing a donation to Vital Ministries, you can go again to our Vital Ministries webpage. Check that out. You can find out how to send monies to help us out. But we are in a critical need. And if you could help us out with that, we're trusting the Lord. And, you know, everything has a season. And I don't believe the season is over yet, but we're at a critical spot to where we just need help. So pray about that. So moved is the Holy Spirit. And enough of that. We'll get on to our teaching series. So we are on a week 4 in our teaching series, The Me I Want to Be. We all have had those aspirations from childhood of chasing the dream of being like someone. Sometimes we dream about being that sports figure, or that musician, or that favorite movie person, to name just a few of those that are just visible, people that are visible that we see. My wife, she's a third grade teacher right here in Oskaloosa, and she talks about a lot of the dreams and the aspirations of her kids and what they want to be. And as you think about the dreams, but not many people dream about this, about being a welder or a beautician, a teacher, or a construction worker, just to name a few. But a person, you know, a lot of times we want to have, as we think about the person we're called to be, we want to have something that has some notoriety to it, or some presence to what we're wanting to do, that our life truly counted. And we all want that as the me that I want to be, but also to growing in deeper the me that I'm called to be. What I do believe is this, that everyone has a calling. That is, there is an assignment on their life to becoming the me that they're called to be. This past week, my wife and I, we went again to the fair, and we've not missed any of the fairs. The Des Moines Fair, the Iowa State Fair, with the exception of when we had COVID, which is a couple of years ago, they did not have the Iowa State Fair. And also, too, last year we were unable to go due to the fact of I needed knee replacement. I literally could not walk. It was walking for me was very, very difficult. And those are the only 2 years that we had missed, but it was just a really good time. But I usually go over to every year to the where the Buckskinners are at over on the east side, the tents for and looking for the people there. And one person and for the most part that I always go looking for is a man by the name of Marty. I worked with his dad Terry as I was a young framer at the time, and before I was still in high school when I worked with him. And this man could lay out houses and stick frame roofs like nobody else's business. Back then they didn't have trusses who came. They literally stick built everything. And this guy was without a doubt a craftsman. His calling in life was to be that incredible big level framer. And he knew who he was, and he's now since gone. But I learned a lot from that man, and especially the calling on his life to do the work that he did. But in becoming the me I'm called to be to God gives us ability. We talked about that in our first week, to do the mission of our calling. He gives us abilities in those places. Also in week two, he gives us focus to be detailed in our everyday lives, to give us focus to understand what is that we're called to be, that we're focused on him, Jesus himself, and that helps us in that. Last week, we realize that he helps us in change, not to stay stagnant in our faith, but to be energized and to go that next step. If you remember the stats that I shared with you last week about change, that 16% of people embrace change, 68% process change, and 16% actually resist change. We all fall into one of those three categories in life about change. But this week, the fourth part of being the me I'm called to be is this: pass the test. You might be asking, Mike, you mean having passed the test in my faith? And the answer with that undoubtedly is yes. See, throughout the Bible, where we see people giving Bible verses about men and women who had to pass the test, either in their faith or in their actions of their faith. I don't know about you, but I don't do very good with actual tests myself. I actually hate written tests. I freeze up. I overthink them. I've never been able to struggle with dealing with tests. And most recently, before my next driving test, I'm going to have to take a vision test for my driving. And my eyesight has changed to a place where now I'm wearing glasses and my right eye has a place where it wanders. And that's all a part of getting older. And man, I tell you what, getting older is not fun. But most recently, I had to pass a written test for the sheriff's posse. I had to do that in order to get the certification to be a certified sheriff posse. Not that I'm on the sheriff's department, but I'm thankful for both the men and women of the sheriff's department here locally who helped me in class, taking me on driving tests, and especially with their patience. They were always there to help me in the midst of taking my test, my written test that I had to take online. See, life also has tests as well, don't they? We will experience them throughout our life, and I've had a good friend of mine by the name of Steve, and we talked about tests, and sometimes we do good with them, and sometimes we literally survive them, and even times we fail in them. But I believe as long as we fail forward, the test was good. And this morning, I just want to share a few Bible verses with you before we jump into the actual text this morning to realize what it means to pass the test, because there's always tests. Now, this is important. Tests, and also, too, what I would say, where we struggle in sin, where that it's not a test, it's actually something of where we're tempted. It's different. See, tests are given by God Himself. They're to uplift, or they're to encourage and to endure and grow strong in our faith. Where temptation comes is something that is tempted within. God doesn't do that. God does not bring temptation into our lives. It comes from literally from the evil desires within our own heart is where the temptations come. But what I'm talking about this morning is tests that the God sends for us. For example, in the Bible, it says in Psalms 26:2, this is what David writes. He says, "Put me on trial, Lord, and see and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart." If we'd like to grow deeper in our faith, in this verse of King David, that's what he was wanting to do. His motions of the heart is like kidneys in the heart. Kidneys are the seat of the emotions, and the heart is the place of moral decisions. David wanted God to test him and that test him in his life. So think about this for a second. Have you ever asked God to check out my emotions and my moral decisions? Are they in alignment with God's words as I encounter tests in my life? When was the last time you asked Holy Spirit for that? And the answer is, and I'm hoping that, check out the enticement. Check out my emotional and my moral decisions in my life. And when we don't have the Holy Spirit asking for that kind of thing, we're truly asking for the transparency in our lives so that the Holy Spirit can work. Go back into the places that, because a lot of times our hearts can become jaded, a place of callousness where we get hard. And that's, I don't want that in my life. And I believe a lot of people listening to me this morning don't want that as well. Another verse it talks about in Hebrews 11:8, it says this, "By faith, Abraham was called to go a place he would later receive his inheritance. He was without knowing where he was going." You see, in the Bible, faith is confident obedience to God's word despite circumstances and consequences. It's a test. It's facing the unknown, trusting God in it. When we trust God's word and we act out on it, we step into the test of the obedience of God is calling us to be. See, God told Abraham to leave the place of comfortability to the place of a hard place and a place to go, a place in which a new generational homeland was going to happen, a place of promised land. And then yet there's another verse I want to read to you this morning before we jump in to the three tests we will experience in life. And that comes from in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 12. It says this, "Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord promises those who love him." Now, testing is like building blocks in our life. The more testing that we have is stronger, and the greater the structure is that he builds within us. My dad's always reminding me that we need not ask God to take away the trials or the tests in our life, but to ask God for broader shoulders to endure those tests. My dad is an incredible man, and I appreciate him, incredible man of God, and he's got street smart. And with that, he brings those things to me and the other people around. He's got just an incredible source of wisdom and can see situation in his life and the experiences that he had, all because of what he's learned in life itself. But let's jump into this morning, the three teachings, the three tests that we'll experience in life itself. And let's go to that this morning, because before we jump in, I want to read Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, before we get into our first test. It says this, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering in one of the mountains, which I will show you." Now, here Abraham, here is the covenant promise to Abraham and to Sarah of the new covenant of a generations that will be coming. And here he is, having God putting him on a test. "I want you to take the thing you love most, and I want you to sacrifice it. I want you to take, not just sacrificing a lamb or a ram or cattle, I want you to take your son." Now, everything in the Bible discredits what God is asking, but God is showing a test to Abraham. And I want to show that to you this morning because it's going to help us to realize as we encounter tests in our life of how God works. So point number one is this: God will test how much you trust him. Now we're going to read Genesis 22 verses 3 through 5 and see how God will test us and how much we trust him. This is what it says. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for the fire for the burnt offering and set out for the place God had told them about. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He says, "Stay here with the donkeys," Abraham told his servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther and we will worship there, and then we will come right back." Now, as we look at this, God was testing Abraham how much he would trust him. How much do you trust me? Will you give me everything that you hold dear to you in order to trust me in the midst of the test? Now, what I love about this, immediately, do we not see Abraham being obedient? It says, the next morning, Abraham got up early, saddled his donkey along with two servants, and they headed out. He takes Isaac. He doesn't bind Isaac. He knows, he trusts God so much that he knows that God is going to provide a provision in some way, but he doesn't know. See, the greater the test in our life is the greater the love. And that's something that's important for us to realize this morning, that the greater the test is a responsibility of the greater of the love. So when you look at the Lord and he's asking you to trust him in the midst of the test, how much do you trust him? How much in the midst of the test are you willing to sacrifice? Because one thing that's really, really important as we look at tests in our lives and seeing how much he will trust us is, at what level do we trust? At what level are we willing to step out by faith and do what God asks us to do? And I think it's important for us in the midst of our life because God will test us sometimes to the things of what we love most. You know, I only have one son, and I'm sitting there asking myself, what would it be like if God would have asked me to do the same thing? Would I be able to go out and take my son? For me, it's my only son. I had a son and a daughter. If I was going to take my son and to take him out and to sacrifice him, would I be willing to do the test and do the same thing and out of the obedience of Abraham? I thank the Lord that I've never had such a test happen. But would I be willing to do that? Because God was really checking out the love that he had for God. And I think so much in our lives, God sometimes will ask us for the things that we love most, are we willing to give it back to him? Are we willing to take the sacrifice that's been given of what we love most and give it back to him? And I think about that in my own life. What is it that I love most? Without a doubt, you know, my wife comes to my mind, my children, my grandchildren, all those things. I would lay my life down for my wife. I would lay my life down for my children, for my grandchildren. But what if God asked me to lay their life down? Man, I tell you what, it's hard to wrap your head around that one, isn't it, folks? This is not an easy concept. But see, Abraham is noted in the Bible as the father of faith, all because I believe of this portion of the Bible. He did it without reluctancy and he stepped into obedience. So how often in the midst of our lives, when God tests us in areas and asks us to give up something, are you willing to go and do this in order to show how much you love me? You know, my son and his wife, they moved to Plantation, Florida, and they left the comfortability of the place of where they lived in Olathe, Kansas. They were living in a vibrant church. Things were going really, really well for them. Things were going at a place, security, and all that was there. But the Holy Spirit moved and spoke to my son and his wife about going and moving to Plantation, Florida, to the place unknown, leaving everything to start a church plant. In my mind, I can only imagine what it must have been for my son, but he did. He pulled up stakes, and they moved. And without a doubt, have they not had trials, testing? Without a doubt, they have. It has been a trial and test that have happened in their life. But God has showed his provision, his obedience, due to the fact of my son, of the love that he was willing to do, that he has an incredible favor on his life out of obedience. And I think that's important for us to realize this morning, folks, is that in the midst of our testing, that God asks us out of obedience. Because it brings us to point number two is this. God demands we give up what we love most. And I'm going to show you that this morning in verses 6 through 11. As we go on in Genesis chapter 22. It says, so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulder, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham. He said, Father, yes, my son, we have the fire and the wood, Isaac said, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Abraham responds this way, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. And they both walked on together. When they arrived to the place where God had told them to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he does this. He tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Wow, can you imagine what that moment must have been for Abraham? Here is Isaac, his son, asking him, Dad, we've got the fire, we've got the wood. Matter of fact, Isaac is carrying the wood on his back, which he is the sacrifice, unknowing it, but Abraham knows. Abraham puts it on his back and tells him by faith that God will provide a sheep. But they get all the way to the top of Mount Moriah. I've been at Mount Moriah, and now the temple is there. And the Mount Moriah, there's a place where God had intervened. And Abraham goes up, and he takes his son. I can only imagine how that walk must have been to the top of the mountain. I imagine for him the sacrifice, because no greater sacrifice. In a way, we get a glimpse of what the Holy Father had done with the Son, sending Jesus Christ down to the earth, knowing that Jesus Christ would be the Lamb to be sacrificed for the sin of mankind. We get a glimpse of what that must have looked like today by the words that we read in the Bible, but unknowingly, Abraham didn't know, because Abraham was the beginning of the promise. The promise of the covenant that God made with him, that through his lineage, Jesus Christ would come and the final sacrifice would be made with not anybody else's son, but the son of the Father would be done. And I tell you what, this morning, when I think about this morning, I'm humbled just by the thought. See, God sometimes will ask us to give up what we love most. See, if you want the miraculous, that you have to do the ridiculous. And sometimes we are unwilling to do that because in our minds, the miraculous and doing the ridiculous don't line up, so I'm not going to do it. Maybe this morning, Holy Spirit is speaking to you about something miraculous that he wants to do in your life, and it looks absolutely ridiculous, but are you willing to do what you give up, what you love most, to give it back to God? Man, that's a challenge, isn't it, this morning, folks, when you think about that? Are you willing to do such a feat? Man, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read these portions in the Bible, I have to wrap my mind around it and try to get in the midst of the moment of how it would have looked like. Because let's go on to point number three. See, God gives us more than we could ever give him. And I'm going to show you the remainder of this, starting with verse 12, of what God does. It says, don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Don't hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thorns of the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it on the burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, the people still use the name as provider. On the mountain of the Lord, God provided. I don't know about you folks, but that gives me goosebumps just reading it this morning. Then the angel of the Lord called up to Abraham from the heaven. This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly, what? Bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and all because you have obeyed me. Wow. See, Abraham never realized the blessing. He was the beginning of the promise, and the blessing would not be until later on. Even today, that blessing is still happening in the midst of Israel as a nation. God's covenant still is in place from the beginning of Abraham to modern day 22-23 and modern day Israel. That covenant promise, folk, is still established and still happening because God is coming again. He's coming back for his church, but he is also coming so Israel has a second chance. See, this is what's so important in our lives, to real lives, that God, we serve a covenant God. He makes promises and he lives by them. I'm thankful to live by faith of a God who loves us, a Yahweh Jireh. He is the provider. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the one that is mighty to save, and he is the one today in the midst of the test and the trials of your life is the one that will provide a way for you in the trial of your life. Look to the mountain. Look to the sky, for your Redeemer draweth nigh. Man, if I can't get an amen this morning, I'm going to give it to myself this morning because it is exciting. I want to read this last thing before we quit this morning. A quote by Alan Redpath, and he says this: there is no circumstance, no trouble, no testing that can ever touch me until, first of all, it has gone past God first, and then pass Christ right through to me. If it has come that far, it has come with great purpose. That is the God that we serve this morning, folks. That is the God who we love and we service. He is one who is the protector and the provider of our souls. Aren't you blessed by that this morning? We are always in a test. God is always asking us to pass the test out of obedience in our faith. So my question to you this morning: what test are you in? Are you willing to pass the test in the midst of obedience and step into places and do the unimaginable, do the miraculous, so what seems ridiculous, so that God can have obedience in your life and favor to show you who he is, and that you may live a joy-filled life in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for our sins? That, folks, is the gospel message. And that, folks, is the me that we are called to be. Amen and amen. Let me pray with you this morning. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here. And for those that are listening, I pray that someone this morning that might be going through a test, I pray that they go through and pass the test. They can get to the other side and say, praise God, I passed the test of obedience in my life, whatever it might be. It might be emotional. It might be spiritual. It might be a physical test that you are encountering. But God is mighty to help us through the tests of our lives this morning. We love you, Jesus. We praise you and we thank you in your precious holy name. Amen. Folks, what a great time. We're going to finish up next week. Will be our last week on the Me That We're Called to Be. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.